Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of What Days with Murph. Today, we're pleased to welcome a lovely and talented Miss Kristen Bart back to the show. We'll chat about this year's Dancing with the Stars season and anything else Kristen's got going on. Y'all don't want to miss this one. And as usual, I've got my co-host Emily with me. Hey, Em.
Okay, when that thing told us to hit 5 seconds, I was mid-sentence, and I got cut off. I was mid-sentence, and the thing was like, your show was alive in 5 seconds, and I was like, but I'm not done.
That's hilarious.
I hate that thing. And then it was like, then, you know how it talks before you are like, hey, listeners, and hey, one time when I was running it, I forgot it does that, and I started talking, and then it interrupted.
I think I remember listening to that show. I remember that.
Anyway, Emily will shut up now.
And with that, let's welcome the lovely and talented Kristen Bart to the show. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming
back.
We
really appreciate you coming back.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says I was on Weekdays with Murph and all I got was this lame t-shirt.
That's perfect.
Oh, how have you been?
Good. You know, it's been a busy season. We're in. We've got another 3 weeks left of Dancing with the Stars, so we'll kind of see what happens here. But you know, I think it's between two contenders for the Mirror Ball Trophy.
Yeah.
It went so fast. I'm never prepared for 10. Like, even if your favorite person is one of, like, the top people and you think they're going to win, you're still not prepared for it to end.
Exactly.
No, that's true. I think this time, especially when you get to sort of the middle part of the season, usually everyone, you kind of want them to stick around for one reason or another. I mean, for some people, it's because they're great dancers, and other people because you love their personality. But so it's always like I hate predicting like who you think is going to go home the following week and things like that.
No.
But
It's
kind of interesting because we've got a few dancers that are still left that aren't great dancers. And we usually only have like one that sticks around because of the personality. But we have Michael Waltrip, who's got the huge NASCAR fan base. And then you have Tommy Chong, who's 76, and he's just so much fun.
He's
got so much personality.
He is awesome.
I do, too. And you know what I love? And this has been kind of fun for me to sort of discover. I feel like I've discovered PETA this season because he's always paired up with these hot young men and everything is always sexy and she's half-dressed with her clothing. And look, she's gorgeous and she's an amazing dancer and, you know, she's got a great body. But you sit there and think it's been fun to see her playful and funny and just looks like she's really relaxed and having a great time, and I like that.
How could you not have a great time with Tommy Chong, though?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's been funny. When we had Sharna in last week, Sharna Burgess came into the studio. She talked a lot about what PETA was up against because she will teach Tommy the dances, and an hour later, he can't remember the entire thing at all.
Right.
You know, he's just older. His memory is a little bit different than someone who's, you know, 25. And so he's trouble remembering the steps. And he usually has a really bad dress rehearsal. Like, he'll barely dance in the dress rehearsal. And then he gets out there on the dance floor for the live show, and he's magic. So PETA just never knows what to expect out there, but they've had a lot of fun together.
I'm terrible about, like, remembering stuff like that. I was a terrible cheerleader. Like, I can't remember... Like, I can remember, like, information, but when it comes to, like, things I have to do choreography-wise, I was terrible at it. Like, I made it to the cheerleading, like, clinic where they teach you the first thing, and then I was like, see ya.
Yeah, I mean, some people are really good at remembering choreography, and then other people are just like, I can't remember. We talk a lot about that in the show. Sturi is someone. She said as a dancer, she would always have a hard time remembering choreography. And I'm someone, I can once I see it, it's in my brain. Like, I can visualize it in my brain. So it just depends on what type of learning you do. I'm sure for Tommy, it's been very hard for a lot of it.
Well, and, like, that's how I am with music. Like, I can hear a song twice and then, like, sing it to you. But, like, when it comes to, like, my actual movements in my body, like dancing, whatever, anything like that, like, even in theater where you have, like, very minimal dancing, I have problems remembering what I'm supposed to do. I have to look at everyone else. And then and totally opposite with, like, you know, school information, you know, different classes or whatever. I can remember all that stuff really easy. If I hear a song once or twice, I can start to sing it. So, I mean, maybe it's just the dance thing.
It is interesting, and I think Dancing with the Stars really sort of brings that out and, like, who remembers what and how they learn, and you see how frustrating it can be for certain people. Even if you looked at the package from last night from Michael Waltrip, he had to do a jive and you know, isn't necessarily remembering, but it was, you know, he's very, very tall, and they're asking him to do a jive, which is very quick and fast on his feet, and he's not fast on his feet. He's a really, I mean, you see he towers over everybody, so asking him to move his legs super fast is not an easy thing, and so you could see the frustration on his face, and you could see the frustration on Emma's face when she was trying to teach it to him.
Oh, yeah, and if I was on that show, I'd probably have a meltdown, because I don't handle, like, stress well, and see, like, I don't think I could handle that. Like, if I was on Dancing with the Stars and they put me in that situation, I would have, like, some kind of meltdown. You have to be, like, taking me to the ER.
It's so true. You know, we sit there at, you know, on AfterBuzz, we sit there and talk about these dances, and we offer comments and opinions, but really the bottom line is, and we always have to keep this in mind, it's one of the hardest shows out there to do. I would put Dancing with the Stars out there with kind of like maybe Survivor or Amazing Race, where you have to put where you have to put the physical aspect into it, but also the mental aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how tiring it gets. You see people crying. Yeah. You see people getting mad, getting frustrated. Yeah, it's not an easy show to do. And I think that you have to, even if people aren't great dancers and even if they don't last long, you have to appreciate that they were brave enough to get out there on the dance floor. And remember, they're doing it live. So live isn't easy. You don't get a do-over or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's
just, you know, I kind of, I work well under pressure, but I couldn't do a Dance with the Stars at all. I mean, there's just no way possible.
The stress is crazy. I mean, I have fun too, but like, it's so stressful, it seems. Like it stresses me out, and I'm not on the show.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Now, who do you guys think will win this year? Because I've got, you know, I think that there's an obvious winner, and then I think that there's a dark horse that could sneak in and take this Mirrorball trophy.
I don't know. It's hard to choose. There's like a lot of good dancers.
Yeah, there really is.
I think Alfonso will definitely be in the top three. I'm thinking he might win. Sadie is really good. I don't know. I like everyone. I love Bethany because I just love her in general before the show. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched last night. I didn't watch it. I recorded it, and I haven't had time to watch.
Antonio went home. Antonio Sabato Jr.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I was expecting him to be really good, and I was, like, really excited because, you know, General Hospital. And then I was like, oh, you're so boring to me. It was kind of disappointing. I was excited, and then I wanted to root for him. I always root for the soap star, and then I'm like, oh, you bore me, though. I can't.
He did. He had a really tough time, which I was really surprised. And I joked one week, I'm like, he doesn't have that Latin heat, and someone's like, he's Italian. I'm like, well, there you go. But he should have Italian heat, too. And I think, I guess I just expect when I see a man that's, like, so, you know, in shape and with the muscles,
yeah,
and he's so handsome, I expected him to be... I don't know. I expected him to be more, like, I'm just trying to think of some of the other soap stars that we've loved. Like, even Ingo was out there doing really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Rademacher, he did really well. I mean, Kelly Monaco's done well, even though she's female.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so bitter over Kelly Monaco. Don't get me started. But, no, I wanted her to win, and then she didn't, obviously. But, anyway, she won once. I guess that's good enough, but... No, I don't know. I was expecting him to be really good. And, like, the first week, I thought he was really good. I was like, he could totally, like, run really hard and be so good at this. And he was okay, but, like, he was one of those ones that, in my mind, I don't think, I'm like, who's on Dancing with the Stars? And he's not one of those people that pops into my head immediately.
Yeah, and I think he was a big get for the show. Like, I think it was important that they cast him because they've wanted him for a long time. But I also think that he didn't... he wasn't emotionally open to the process as much. And you honestly have to just, like, go in there. And I think we said it one week on AfterBuzz. Like, Anna said it. She's like, you just have to spill your guts out. Because that's what people love. People want to see the real you, not just the handsome you or the soap opera you. So.
Yeah, he seemed very, like, closed off. And he was, like, working that soap opera thing. And I was like, dude, nobody liked you when you were on General Hospital. Like, the character you played. So that's not going to work. You're going to have to be you. Because, like, he's trying to, like, put out this, like, you know, he seemed very closed off. Like, he was just putting out this sort of persona. And it's like, okay, we didn't really like the guy you played on General Hospital, hence, you know, his death. So, like, how about you give us Antonio instead of, like, whoever it is you're trying to show us.
And I think that's what proves why, like, Michael Waltrip is still there and why Tommy Chong is still there, because they've been exactly who they said they were. They came on the show and, you know, Tommy Chong's like, I'm 76. I'm not going to beat, you know, a 17-year-old girl, but I'm going to go and have fun. And I like to smoke weed and I was in jail. And
that's the best thing too. Like their first dance, I will always remember their first dance. Like they danced to Snoop Dogg. How amazing. And then like Peter's dress with like pot leaves and there's like cheese. And I'm like, this is just going to be the greatest season of Dancing on the Stars.
Yep.
My parents, like, hate that shit. Like, my parents hate Dancing with Stars because I've, like, beat it to death because I've watched it so long. And so, like, my parents are sick of this show. But they always are like, okay, we're going to watch Tommy and we're going to watch Alfonso and then we're leaving.
Okay, then they're like, we're done. I do think that this cast is a little, I mean, it's so eclectic. It's a real mishmash, I think, of celebrities. I think compared to other seasons, I mean, it's so hard coming off of season 18, which I thought was just magical because you had, you know, Max and Meryl and you had Amy and Derek. And I even thought Candace and Mark were a great pair, even if they weren't going to win. There were so many good people. I love Danica and Val. There were just a lot of people that I enjoyed watching the journey. I think this year it's a little bit like, oh my gosh, we've got these really good dancers still left and we've got these other dancers that aren't doing so well, but they're still around and there's only a few weeks left. And so it's a little bit more disjointed, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but it's hard. I mean, season 18 was one of the best that they've ever had, so that was
amazing. I think so,
too. I've watched since, like, forever ago. It's kind of shameful how long I've been watching this show, but my favorite seasons that stand out for me, like, season 11 with Jennifer Grey was my favorite ever, and then season 15, the All-Stars, because that was also amazing, and it was so intense. Those are my two favorites. And then last season was, like, my third favorite. But those are the ones that really stand out for me. But I like the cast this year. A lot of them, people were, like, complaining because they didn't know who they were. Like, Cody called me, and he's like, who are these people?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know these people. And I'm like, okay, this person does this, this person does this. And he was like, I'm just confused. Like, these people, I don't know who they are.
Well, and that's it. I mean, they went outside the box in terms of, like, going to a YouTube personality with Bethany Mota, and she's huge. I mean, she is a superstar in her own right, but for a different generation, like an older generation, they're like, who's
like
Bethany?
Me?
I've never heard of this. But, yeah, you guys watch her all the time. I've interviewed her a bunch. She's been interesting to me because we were saying, like, the first couple of weeks, like, we don't get her out in the dance floor, and people are like, you hate Bethany. And I'm like, we don't hate Bethany. I get who she is as a YouTube personality. We weren't seeing it out on the dance floor. But each week I felt like, okay, here comes another layer. It's like she's shedding off the mask. Like she's getting more comfortable. She's getting more confident. And I feel like it was Mark Ballas that made her really comfortable. I mean, and he works well with younger contestants. I think he's great with that. He really gets them, like, gets their footing and gets them in the right frame of mind. And then when she went back to Derek last week and did the tango, like, nailed it. This week, nailed it, like, above and beyond. And what I also thought is we saw the Derek we've been missing. Because Derek was able to do the choreography and the creativity that he's always capable of, but we hadn't really seen it yet. And he showed glimpses of that in the tango. And then with the Paso last night, I was like, oh, man, it's all here. Look at this. She's amazing. He's amazing. They were magical out there.
Yeah, they're so good together. And I love Derek Paso. Who doesn't? And I know, like, everybody thinks AfterBuzz TV is, like, the Team Derek or whatever, but I love him, too. I think he's incredible, and I'm not even going to lie. I wanted to marry him when I was 11.
That's so funny. He was, well, we got, you know, it's funny, like, some seasons we get, like, you love Derek so much, and the first few weeks, because we had Serge Onyx on, who was from So You Think You Can Dance, but he's friends with Val and Max and that crew, and then they're like, you guys hate Derek! You love Val and Max, and I'm like, wait a minute. What side do you think we're on? We're here. We love all the dancers, and we're there to talk about, you know, everything.
I love them all. I love the Schmierkowskis, that whole, like, what clan of Schmierkowskis and friends, and then I also love Derek Moore. I love them all. But, yeah, I was like, wait a minute, who's third? And I was like, oh, I follow him on Instagram. I didn't go there. Because I saw, you know, Derek, or not Derek, Val and Max and all of their little crew. I don't know what they call each other, their crew, I guess. I saw them all, because why not? What else do you do? No. Seriously, Cody, you don't know this about me, but before I wanted to marry Tyler Christopher, I wanted to marry Derek Hill, like, since I was 10.
I think I did know that about you, actually.
Well, I saw him, okay, here's what happened. So I watched the show forever, and then, like, I never really paid attention to how attractive the male dancers were, and then I was like, hey, I like Derek and Jennifer, and then I was like, hey, I'm really jealous of her, and then I was like, I want to marry that guy. And then I saw this guy who worked at Kroger who looked like him and decided I was going to marry him. And then I moved back to Derek. And so, good time. Derek Hough.
Okay.
All the childhood crushes, you know, we all had them.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And speaking of the Schmierkowskis, can we just take a moment because... I think Janelle and Val killed it last night.
They're amazing.
Yeah, what happened with the judges? Because they were all, I thought that was a really cool Viennese waltz. I mean,
it was.
Val is always good about keeping really classical when it comes to the content. He's very traditional. But I thought that the concept of using the Pretty Little Liars theme, and I thought that the whole entire staging looked gorgeous. When the judges started talking, I was like, wait a minute, you know, I feel like they're missing the mark somewhere.
There's always the one.
I did too. I mean,
every week that the judges have something bad to say about that, nobody understands why. Like, it happens every time. There's, like, somebody that the judges say they don't really like or whatever every single week, and nobody understands why. Like, we're all like, okay, we don't get it. And then there's somebody that we, like, as viewers, everyone collectively feels, like, didn't do as well. And then they get, like, really praised, and it's like this give and take all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every week on Dancing with the Stars, that couple.
Yeah, and I feel like this season they've been really uneven. Like, now 3 shows ago, they were really mean, and then last week they're like, we'll be really generous, and then this week they were hard again. And I think that I think what they're missing is that, and this is what I love about So You Think You Can Dance, is that they'll say, you know, this wasn't your best dance. Here's what you need to work on. And then you give a good constructive criticism so they can work on it the following week instead of just being like, you stink. And I know that they're there to make good TV and they've got to do all of that. But I think, you know, I see the fans on Twitter talking about it and they get upset when their favorite pro or their favorite celebrity is criticized in a way that seems really negative and not helpful.
Right.
I'm always the fan of a couple, though, that's like the people that, just, they're not the favorite. Like, there's always a couple I feel like that are held to a, like, higher standard than some others. And I don't feel that they hold everyone to an equal standard. And I know they're, like, doing it to be, like, oh, to get people talking, whatever. It's still stupid to me that they do that. Because, like, I feel like they hold everybody else. They hold everyone to a different standard. Like, there's no universal standard for every couple on the show. It's like, okay, we expect this from this person, this from this person, and so on and so forth. And it kind of annoys me. Well, actually, it really annoys me, but I can't really do anything about it.
Yeah, and, I mean, you can't hold Tommy Chong to the same standard as, like, Janelle or Alfonso. But, I mean, I feel like that the group of, like, the dancers that are there more for the personality or just there for the journey, like maybe the Antonios and the Michaels and the Tommies, have, you know, a set of standards. And then, obviously, the people that can dance and will probably make it to the finals, maybe there's another set of standards. And that's who they're judged against because you can't, there's no way you're going to be able to compare 17-year-old Sadie to 76-year-old Tommy because they're at different stages of their life, different energy levels, different mental places.
There should be, like, some sort of standard. Like, you know, like you said, you know, the people who are in it for, like, the personalities and, like, the journey, those people, and then, like, the serious competitive dancers. Like, there's, like, for that group of people that's the seriously competitive doing well could win it, dancers. There should be, like, one standard. And also, like, they don't judge equally with people, and it's kind of annoying because you see somebody do something, and you're like, that was really good, and then somebody else does it, and they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, make up your mind.
Yeah, it is. It's a really unusual thing, and the judging's always uneven, and we've gone back and forth over it for many, many seasons, just never really for us to try and find a balance as viewers and fans of the show, and, I mean, we can't really do it, and we thought, you know, should there be a set of standards of, like, here's the quick step, we're going to look for these types of things in the quick step, the fans know we're looking for, you know, certain types of hold, or, you know, quick footwork, or pacing, things like that. But, you know, again, you do, because the show hires so many different celebrities at all different dance levels,
yeah.
How do you even hold them to that? Because you're not going to put the same type of quick step movement for Tommy that you're going to do for Alfonso. And so it's hard.
Sure. I feel like there's one couple or maybe two every season that they're just, like, so hard on, like, that they're way harder on than others. Like, okay, I'm using this as an example because I'm still bitter, but season 15, okay, I felt like no matter what Kelly and Val did, it was just not good enough, and I just finally gave up. I was like, it's just not going to happen. No matter what they do, they're not going to get a 10. It's not good enough. And there's always that couple that no matter what, it's just not good enough for the judges, and they're just not happy no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things that I don't know if they'll ever be able to fix it on the show, because it's one that's really important for fans to kind of understand, but then do you find the balance of entertainment? Do you find the balance of technique? I don't know. You know, I wish we had an answer.
People are sort of used to it. My people are just used to it. Like, that's just how they roll at Dancing with the Stars. And so you just got to take it. If it's your favorite, you just wait till the next season and pick a new favorite like I did. Because it just, some seasons it's your favorite. Some seasons you don't care because you don't, you know, you're not particularly a fan of the person. But some seasons it's like no matter what your favorite does, because it's happened to me multiple times with one of my favorite competitors on the show. No matter what they do, the judges are not happy. And I don't really pay attention to the judges that much. Like, if it's on the DVR, I tend to fast forward through everyone that's not Glenn because, he's the only one that I feel, I don't know, I don't even say qualified, because they're all sort of qualified in their own ways, but I value his opinion, so I kind of fast forward through the judges, unless I'm watching it live. That's my dark confession for the day, I guess, but they annoy me, so I'll fast forward them, because they just, at the point now, like, they've had the same judges. This show's been on air for, like, what, 19 seasons, and they've had the same judges, Lindsay, Addition, and Julianne, who I love, but still not as a judge, as a dancer. They've had the same judges for so long, and it's part of the show, but at the same time, it would be nice if they would change it up.
Yeah, you know, the judges are kind of interesting because they have four this season, and if you notice, the last couple weeks, they've been running out of time. Like, they'll only go to three judges, and they're like, we got to move. And so I'm like,
yeah.
Did you have four judges? Because we're running out of time. Like, if only three are going to speak each time, you know, instead of the four.
They need three new ones that haven't been doing this for, like, 19 seasons. And I love Julianne as a dancer. Like, I'm a huge fan of her work as a dancer and her movies and all that stuff. But I don't like her as a Dancing with the Stars judge. I didn't like her when she was a guest judge. And I know that she's been there and she can relate and stuff. I don't know. I just don't like that dynamic.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've heard a lot, like, for and against. And it's one of those things, like, American Idol has switched up their judging panel. Sometimes successful, sometimes not. The Voice has done it very successfully, like keeping two people standard and then two people in rotation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've done it better than anyone. Can you do that in the dance world? I mean, you don't have the same superstars the way, you know, the music industry does, but there might be a better balance with all of that. I think maybe keeping three kind of was a better balance for me too.
Yeah.
I think four is a
little bit too
much.
So too.
I don't need guest judges either, I have to be honest, but I feel like...
That either. And then half the time, they do it just to get the viewers. Like, why was Jesse J a Dancing with Stars judge? Why was Kevin Hart a Dancing with Stars judge? What do you think about dancing? Nothing. they just do that to get ratings, and it's really annoying because, like, most of the people that watch this show have been, like, watching the show forever, like me. I'm only 17, and I think I've watched it for, like, 16 seasons.
Yeah.
Most people, like, have been watching it for so long. Like, I watch it because I like the dancing. I don't want to watch it because Kevin Hart's a guest judge. I don't watch it because Jesse J's gonna sing. Like, I don't care about that. I watch because I want to see the competitors, and I want to see who's on there and who's good, who's not, who I can kind of laugh at privately in my home. I don't do it on the internet like some people because I think that's rude. But I do kind of laugh at some people and my, in the privacy of my home alone when I'm nobody else is here. You know, people watch it because they want to see people dance. I don't think people really care who guest judges, and because nobody really wants to listen to the judges, I don't think. I think at this point, nobody wants to hear them.
Didn't you think, like, Pitbull, you were like, what are you doing? And they always go, I don't know anything about dance. And then they're like, why are you on the panel?
Exactly.
Thank you. So, okay, for a while, I didn't understand why Carrie Ann and Alba was judged on Dancing with the Stars, because half the time I feel like she doesn't know what she's talking about, and she's so crazy and, like, falling out of her chair and stuff. And, like, Carrie Ann, honey, bring it in. Get it together. But half the time, I feel like she has no idea what she's talking about. And I know she's a choreographer and, you know, did her thing back in the day, but she needs to just, she's so crazy. Like, has she fallen out of the chair this season, or, like, has that not happened yet? Have we not reached that point?
No, but, you know, two others fell off the chair last night, so I won't ruin it for you, but,
Yeah.
No, two other judges.
That's all I'm going to say. It was interesting, Em.
Okay, this is really bad. Guys, she blocked me on Twitter. Like, she blocked me on Twitter, and I don't know what I did either. Like, that's the bad thing. I don't tweet at her. I don't tweet at anyone unless it's, like, Cody. So I have opinions, but I keep them to myself, meaning I tweet them, but I don't tag you in them because that's hard to get, in a fight. I don't know what I did to Carrie-Anne and Alba, but she blocked me on Twitter, and a bunch of people that I conversed with on Twitter got blocked as well during, like, season 15, and it has still not been lifted to my knowledge. So I don't know what I did to her, but I'm watching you, Carrie-Anne.
You're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute here.
What
did I do?
I don't know what I did. There's another one that has me blocked. Oh.
Maybe she accidentally blocked you. Sometimes it happens. Like, has anyone been on your smartphone and you're like, wait a minute, how did I unfollow someone or accidentally block them? I've had that happen.
That happens to me all the time. I'll be like,
I don't tweet at her, so I don't know how she found me and blocked me, but guys, ABC News blocked me too, but I deserved that one, okay? They were telecasting. This was funny, though. Kristen would laugh at this. They were doing a little broadcast interruption one day, and, like, not only did they give the news, but they also had to analyze it, and I don't, like, you're not CNN. You're here for breaking news, and, like, back to programming, please, because it was just, they wait till General Hospital's on to, like, do anything bad in this country. So then, they're like, okay, we're going to, and then they're like, tweeting, oh, anyone have questions? And I was like, yeah, when will we return to scheduled programming? They didn't really like that, and I was just asking, you know, whatever, it happens. But I don't get why you have to give the breaking news and then give me your analysis. Like, I didn't ask for your opinion on it. I just want to know what's happening and then, like, get back to the so-called. But, yeah, so ABC News blocked me, too.
You're like, wait a minute.
Megan, my sister tweeted at Barack Obama and asked him when his speech would be over so we could watch General Hospital. So, like, it's not me. Like, I'm not that into it. She was 13, and she tweeted at Barack Obama and wants to know when programming will return. Because he waits till 2 p.m. to give a speech every time he wants to give a speech. And it's like, can you pick another hour of the day so I can watch my show? You know, I have to watch it to do the radio show, and if we don't see it, we don't know what happened, and then we can't really recap it. But, so, yeah, people don't like me on the internet, I guess.
Hey,
ABC in general.
We've only got about 30 seconds, but we wanted to thank you again for taking the time to come on with us.
Thank you so much for having me again. You guys are awesome.
This show is so fun. I love when people come on our show and they, like, laugh.
I speak for Emily when I say this. I know I speak for Emily, but we both consider you a very dear friend.
You're amazing. We love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you guys. I appreciate all of the love, and I, you know, love following you guys and hearing your show.
Mm-hmm.
I love when you come on the show because we can all just make fun of stuff together.
Exactly.
Like, it's great. I hate when people come on the show and they're no fun, and they don't give me anything to work with.
continued success to you both.
Hopefully.
Oh, thank you, Kristen.
Come back anytime and put up with us.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Open invitation on the show anytime, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll come back.
All right, thanks, Kristen. All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That was fun, wasn't it, Em?
That was fun. Just to recap, everyone.
That was so much fun.
Just to recap, we had a conversation about Tommy Chong. We talked about how Terry and Lava and ABC News blocked me on the Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you know,
and how?
It was a valid question. I was not being a jerk. It was a real question. When will scheduled programming return? Like, I want to know these things. Actually, you know what really annoys me is when I wait until Katie Couric comes on. Like, nobody watches Katie Couric anyway. That's hence the reason it's being canceled. And then they wait until Katie Couric comes on to go back to programming. And nobody wants to see her. They could have waited until she came on to give us the story.
Right.
I'm so
You know, you know. Your sister's braver than me tweeting its president.
I know, I thought it was funny. She tweeted at Barack Obama at ABC News, when will we return to scheduled programming? And I think she tagged like CNN and another. Piers Morgan has his blocked on Twitter too. But I don't like him. He deserved it. You know what?
Hitting the big time there, aren't you, Em?
It's a mutual blocking. Because, like,
hey.
He tweeted something about our law, and I was like, if you don't like our law, go back to England.
Hey, hitting the big time there, aren't you, Em? Being blocked by Piers Morgan, being blocked by ABC News. Yep.
Yeah.
Hitting the big time, aren't you?
Yeah, well, see, he blocked me, and then I blocked him first. No, he blocked me, and then I blocked him back. Like, it's a mutual. Well, he was like, I don't like the gun laws. Like, if you don't like the laws, go back to England.
It's a mutual blocking.
I told him to go back where he came from. Like, that's not bad. I told him to go back across the pond. Like, I'm sorry. If you don't like our laws over here. Well, he was complaining about the laws in America. If you don't like the laws in America, go back to where you came from.
Right.
And then he was insulted, apparently. Well, sorry. Mm-hmm. You're not American, Pierce. Your name is Pierce. You're definitely not American.
Exactly. Anyway, whatever.
Before I get us sued.
Yeah. And that's as much as our lawyers will allow us to say on that subject.
Yeah, exactly.
That's as much as our lawyers will allow us to say on this subject.
I hope nobody really listens to us, because if they do, we have a lot of enemies.
Who am I kidding? We have no lawyers. Who am I kidding?
Oh, I just want to make a general hospital prediction, as I have not watched today's and I'm behind, so I want it to be right. But my prediction is that Sunny will stop the wedding.
Huh.
I'm predicting that Sunny Corinthos is going to end up at that wedding, and somehow him and Carly are going to end up married. At least I hope
Possibly.
So. But I think it's very possible. Like, it's so Sunny and Carly. Like, I feel like it's totally a possibility.
Possibly. But
That's
anyway,
my prediction.
Yeah.
It's on record
hey.
Now. So right, y'all, owe me $1.
The two judges that fall off their chairs on Dancing with the Stars, you'll never expect it.
Two judges fall off their chairs? They need Jesus up in there.
Two judges fall off the chairs.
I give up. And on the news, in case anyone's following the saga, the plumber has officially installed the new toilet and he left. So if anyone heard a truck crank and it was loud during the show, it was because the plumber was outside my window.
I got you.
But
I didn't hear it, so I think we're good.
Guys, I had a long day. And Cody knows it took me half an hour to just get through it, rehash it all with him. And he listened to me, so that's nice of him.
Mm-hmm.
Cody just nods. I talk for a really long time, and then Cody kind of just nods and says, yep. And then he finishes my sentences sometimes to make it sound like he's listening really intensely. Kind of
That's funny.
Kristen just tweeted at us. We love you, Chris.
Yep, I just saw it.
Anyway, we should stop while we're ahead.
Yeah, I think we should.
That's what I vote for, at least.
Yep, exactly.
All right, y'all have a fun day.
This has been a wonderful episode
of Weekdays with Merv.
I'm going to let you go, girl. And I'll be, I'll be talking to you later.
Announcements. Okay.
Yes, announcements.
I got you. Okay, Friday. Friday is the 31st. It's Halloween. Oh, I hate Halloween so much I'm going to shoot myself. Not really, guys. Don't tweet me the suicide hotline number. I'm not really going to hurt myself. So the 31st is Halloween, but it's also our GH recap show, so that's happening. Then, what was I going to say? We don't have guests for the 4th yet, but if we get one, our 100th show will be Friday the 7th.
Yep.
So, holla. Also, Daylight Saving Time ends on Sunday, November 2nd at 2 a.m. I put on my calendar and that came up. So, set your clock, guys.
I'm working on that.
Not today.
I'm working on finding some. Finding this guest for next week. I'm working on that.
If you can't find anyone, I can whip someone up out of my magical cat of people.
I have...
One more thing. I'm going to pimp my favorite artist out. Sarah Evans, she's releasing a Christmas album, guys. It's her first ever one, which seems ridiculous because I felt like she had 5 of them. But it's her first Christmas album, and it's coming out on November 17th. But you can pre-order it on iTunes right now, and I'm so excited to hear it all. And I literally cannot wait till midnight on midnight on the 16th so I can hear it and download it. And I'm just super excited, so everybody should download that. Because I love her and I've met her, and, yeah.
I have a guest or two in mind that may be coming on the show within the next couple of weeks. So I'll let you know more on that
later.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, I think I'm going
to see who you're talking about. All right, talk to you later.
All right, let me see you, girl. Bye.
All right, bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed our little chat with the lovely and talented Miss Kristen Burke. But, you know, for me, as a radio host, it's always fun to have somebody our same, quote, field, I stop by the show and chat with us for a few minutes because I look up to these people. But to be completely and absolutely honest with you, and I just respect everybody in the entertainment reporter field so much. I think it's going to do it for the show. So, you've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.